And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is our good friend, Dr. Peter Hammond. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Dan. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you so much. Peter, I often mention you over the air because we're still, after Christmas, we went back to reading Victorious Christians Who Changed the World. And I really like this book. And right now we're going through Jonathan Edwards. Fascinating study. But Peter, how are you doing? And what is on your heart today as we are right at the beginning of the new year?
Well, I'm so grateful to see how God is working throughout the world. We've got many churches under persecution, but we also see promising developments. Like at the moment, you might have just noticed there's a bit of a furor over Somaliland seceding from Somalia. Well, actually, that was done 34 years ago in 1991. Very few people know about, but what's brought Somaliland back into news is that the state of Israel recognized Somaliland as a sovereign independent state. And now a whole lot of countries are losing their mind, and the United Nations and the African Union are screaming about, you know, this, how dare they? They destabilizing the region. Now, I mean, honestly, the Horn of Africa is one of the most destabilized regions on the planet.
Yes.
Somalia is a failed state. I mean, you would remember the Black Hawk Down film and, more importantly, the actual events of 1993. That was Somalia. Some of you might have seen the Captain Phillips film. Well, that was Somalian pirates hijacking a container shipment on the high seas. And absolutely extraordinary what Somalia has been in terms of destabilizing the world, destabilizing shipping and all that. They're right there in the Horn of Africa. And Somalia has been involved in nonstop civil wars since its independence, just about. It's such a failed state that they're not able to provide electricity, not able to provide postal service, not able to provide plumbing. It's a completely failed state. And then you get these imbeciles standing up at the African Union and the United Nations saying Somaliland is a threat to the region and could destabilize the place. Now, the history is this. Once upon a time, Britain colonized Somaliland. That's the northern territory of what later became part of Somalia, and the Italians colonized Somalia. So in 1960, Somalia and Somaliland were joined together in one country in 1960. Much like after the Second World War, Eritrea, which had always been a separate country, was joined with Abyssinia to form the country called Ethiopia. And of course, for years they fought for independence, and Eritrea is now recognized as a separate independent sovereign country. But Somaliland seceded from the absolute chaos of Somalia back in 1991. They've got a functioning, stable democracy. Recently, the incumbent president lost an election and handed over. And it's a functioning democracy. They've got their own army. They've got their own police force. They have a working post office. They have electricity. They have plumbing. It's a stable, stable country. And they're not a threat to anybody. And yet, Somalia has caused such disruptions to international sea traffic and piracy and all of that. Not only that, but Al-Shabaab terrorists operate freely from Somalia, have invaded Kenya many a time, and they've massacred hundreds of people in the shopping centers. They've murdered people in universities. They've just stopped traffickers on the road, traffic, and even gone into buses and then executed everyone who couldn't tell you who Muhammad's mother was, or some test questions like that. So Somalia has been a destabilizing influence. And as you probably know, hundreds of thousands of Somalis have moved to America, and particularly as to Minnesota, and have sort of centralized themselves around St. Paul's and Minneapolis. And there they have developed the biggest scams of billions and billions and billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, scammed for daycare centers that have no children and all kinds of projects that are as thin as a piece of paper and don't even have an address and things like this. So Somalia has been a major destabilizing influence in the world, even to the point where America under Bill Clinton invaded in order to feed the people who were starving, and then got themselves shot up because they had to force the people to accept the free food from the United States.
Well,
I don't know that that was a wise policy, which was started under George Bush Sr. and then intensified under Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. But we all remember the film Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
And some of us saw the film on Captain Phillips, which was actually traumatic to think that you've got billions of dollars worth of vessel and cargo being sent to the high seas with nothing more than hose pipes to defend themselves, and obviously not very effective. Just one 50 cal weapon would have been able to sink the little rowboat that was coming after them. And yet you had these four skinny Somalians with AK-47s able to hijack this multi-billion dollar US vessel, and then the US Navy had to deploy and painfully dragged out over who knows how long these, because the White House kept slowing them down and giving, yes, them so many restrictions. It was absolute agony to watch, and I just hope that the film exaggerated, because it's hard to believe anybody could be that stupid,
yeah,
and incredibly slow to rescue the sailors being treated in such an abominable way by these pirates.
Yes.
And you had these few skinny pirates being able to hold up the entire United States Navy and so on because of the rules of engagement given from the White House under Obama. But Somalians have caused a lot of grief to the world, but Somaliland has caused no grief. So here you've got a country that has been self-governing, self-regulating for 34 years, and now one country has recognized them. Well, actually, that's not true. People have said Israel's the first country to recognize them. That isn't true. Taiwan recognized Somaliland a long time ago. But apparently the media wants to ignore the fact that Taiwan's a separate and independent country, de facto. Mm-hmm. And so despite Taiwan having a phenomenal economy and a very stable country, they've been ignored. Now, Great Britain's got diplomatic relations with Somaliland. Ethiopia has a memorandum of understanding and has trade with them. So Somaliland's been a stable influence in the area. And now the State of Israel gives an official recognition, and it's like this is one of the worst things ever done in absolute hysteria. To hear these politicians talking about territorial integrity. I mean, do these people even know what integrity is?
No, they don't.
Somalia has no integrity. Somalia is not able to control their own territory, is used as Al-Shabaab's launching pad for incursions and attacks and terrorist events all over Kenya. A friend of my daughter, in fact, a man who was running the choir that she was singing, was the first person to be killed in the shopping center in Nairobi, Kenya, back when those terrorists burst in from Al-Shabaab. And the entire shopping center ended up being burned down, blown up, destroyed. And how many people died? Absolutely shocking. And then Somalia wants to talk about Somaliland being a threat to the stability of the Horn of Africa. There's no stability in the Horn of Africa except in Somaliland. But as some of you may recall, that just before the U.S. troops went into Somalia in 1993, the Somali jihadists murdered the last Christian, burned the last church. There wasn't a single church in the entire country of Somalia back in 1993 when the U.S. troops went in. But in the last year, we've been able to recognize five separate Christians from a Muslim background who were stoned to death in Somalia. So there's no religious freedom in Somalia.
No.
And they talk about territorial integrity and sovereignty and all that sort of thing. You know, what a pack of lies.
Yes.
And so these Muslim Somalis who converted to Christ were buried up to their waist in the sand and stoned to death, while some jihadists recorded it on their cell phones, uploaded it to social media, and that's how we know about these five Christians who were stoned to death, five of them in the last year. So I think people need to take a good look at what Somalia has contributed to the world. Some may recall back in 1976, a German Lufthansa plane was hijacked and the terrorists flew to Mogadishu because they knew as terrorists they could be as welcome there as the Air France plane was just hijacked by the PLO into Entebbe, Uganda, back in 1976, also found sanctuary there for their terrorist activities. So I would call Somalia a failed state. And mm-hmm. people who want to protest against a stable, peaceful Somaliland really need a lesson in history. So Somaliland has a British background. They were a British colony, and the rest of Somalia were an Italian colony, and they were forced together. It was a failure from the beginning. And what Somaliland has done is secede from chaos, and they've proved themselves stably for the last 34 years as a self-governing country that doesn't need foreign aid to survive. They have a working economy, and they're able to have a good relationship with their neighbors. So that's just a bit of context. Some people might be interested that I know very few people understand what's going on in Africa. So that's just my contribution on Somaliland.
No, that's very valuable, and we get fed from our media. Unless you choose the right media, it's really a pack of lies over here in America. Yes. And so people need to wake up and realize that you got to be extremely selective what you're going to believe. This is very helpful. Now, somebody might ask, why is Peter Hammond, the missionary from South Africa, concerned about Somalia? And I suspect that's, well, I'll let you answer, but I suspect it's because of your love for people and the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and a commitment to seeing Bibles in the hands of people and Christian institutions built, basically Christendom established. But you take it from there and you tell us.
Well, for the last 43 years, it's been my privilege to minister to the persecuted church in 38 countries, and I've ministered to Somalis, and I've had the joy of sharing the gospel with Somalis and leading some of them to Christ. But you can imagine my concern when I know that Somali Christians are targeted by radical jihadists and are murdered in the land of Somalia.
Yeah.
The sovereign state with territorial integrity according to AU and the UN. And I'm concerned that a country that allows religious freedom, that they are being targeted by the world's media and by politicians around the world in hysteria. Perhaps, I don't know if they're angry about Somaliland being stable, or maybe they're angry because Israel recognized them. And perhaps it was a controversial choice for a country involved in a brutal war right now in Gaza, yes, for them to be the ones to recognize. Maybe it wasn't the best, but the thing is, Israel said that Somaliland has diplomatic relations with them, is trading with them, mm-hmm. and is willing to sign the Abrahamic Accords, good, which is a force for peace. Now, Somaliland borders the Gulf of Aden, and they border, of course, the Djibouti and Ethiopia and Somalia. They are a strategic location. They are on the Gulf of Aden facing Yemen on the other side. And Yemen, as we know, is a failed state and a chaotic shambles of a mess. So it's good to know that there's a stable country where missionaries can operate and can use as a base of operations for taking the gospel and Bibles across, yes, the border into a closed failed state like Somalia and maybe even across the Gulf of Aden to Yemen. So Somaliland is a refreshing, stable change, but it's amazing how that outrages people. That, and then people act like you can't possibly recognize Somaliland because they've seceded from a member of the United Nations and the African Union. Well, so did Eritrea, but they were recognized. So did South Sudan, they were recognized. Mm. So this selectivity is bothering to me. And obviously we want to reach the unreached world. And sure, Somaliland is part of the 1040 window. It's part of the least reached parts of the world in the Muslim Middle East. And so to have a place in the Muslim Middle East where some of the people speak Arabic, of course the rest speak Somali, quite a few in Somaliland actually speak English as well, which makes it even easier for missionaries from an English-speaking country to reach them.
Okay.
And we can get more literature to them. So it's a strategic country. It's in a troubled neighborhood.
Yes.
And the fact that there's actually been something positive happening there. And again, we need to be concerned about our world. Our Lord Jesus said, look at the fields, which are ripe for harvest. And so we are commanded by the Lord to look at the fields. And the most needy fields are in the 1040 window, the 10th degrees latitude in the northern hemisphere to the 40th degree latitude in the northern hemisphere. In this area, you get most of the unreached people of the world. So stretching from North Africa, from the Atlantic Ocean across the Middle East to South Central Asia, ending in the Pacific Ocean, you've got in the 1040 window more than 4 billion people, most of whom are not Christians, most of whom are committed to Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, or atheism in the case of China. And therefore, this is the final missions frontier. This is the most needy mission fields on earth, the most neglected mission fields on earth. From a missionary perspective, less than 3,000 missionaries are working in this area dedicated in reaching the Muslim world. 3,000 wow. missionaries to reach about 3 billion people, more than 3 billion people. That's not good odds.
No.
And obviously, that's unworkable. We need a lot more missionaries and a lot more prayer and literature distribution in these areas.
I'm glad you brought this up. I was so ignorant of this. I didn't even know about Somaliland. I didn't know that they were basically a free democracy and they're not connected with Somalia. How many Christians, I wonder, are in Somaliland?
It's in the hundreds of thousands right now, but there's a 6 million population, so it's a huge population to reach. 6 million people, but there's a freedom and opportunity there that you don't get elsewhere.
Yeah.
And when you've got a postal service that actually works and roads that work and you're not being harassed at every roadblock for bribes, it really does help.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw a report recently that Somaliland is one of the least corrupt countries in Africa. One of the least. And I would say Somalia is probably one of the most corrupt countries in Africa. In
yeah.
fact, it's impossible to move anywhere without masses of bribes. So it's quite a staggering and shocking contrast. And to see again the news media taking the wrong side, it seems that when you get the mass media giving one narrative, you can take a 180-degree position, then you're probably right. So basically what you've got to do is what our friends in Eastern Europe used to do. And the friends in Eastern Europe says, well, you know, we've got one party. It's a communist party, and they control the media. So whenever the media tells us something, we know that the truth is the opposite. And so
I think
that would be a very helpful thing if we hear, if the woke media who hates Christ and who is pro-abortion and pro-perversion, all the other things,
yes.
if they tell you something with great intensity, you've got to know that they take it because of their anti-Christian position.
You know, you've sparked a memory here, a thought, Peter Hammond. We're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond today. And we just touched upon the media multiple times. Another soft spot in my heart is pastors, Peter. And I am so wearied over woke pastors. We have some good pastors, don't get me wrong. Some are wonderful. You're one of them. And you've been a minister of God's free grace in Christ. But there are so many woke pastors, and they push the LGBTQ agenda. Some of them don't even know what a woman is. And I am fed up with woke pastors. Any comments about that?
It's quite shocking. You know, I got started as a brand new Christian. I was infected by a lot of this. We're living in the last days, and there's no time to get involved, and Christians shouldn't get involved in politics.
Right.
And, you know, politics is dirty, and don't get involved in it. And when I started smuggling Bibles across the border into communist Mozambique, I had a lot of criticism. You're disobeying Romans 13. You've got to obey the government. And so wait a minute, I said, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature,
yeah.
make disciples of all nations. He never said, stop at the barbed wire fence, stop at the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain. We're not meant to only serve God where it's safe and easy and legal. In fact, the history of missions is all missions were originally actually illegal. Originally, every single, you could say, mission was illegal. And just take the father of modern missions, William Carey. He was a missionary to India, and it wasn't just against the law of India, it was against the law of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
To be a missionary in India, because he was perceived as a troublemaker, who was upsetting the marketplace, the trading relationship of Great Britain, that the British East India Company, and the Hindus of India. So the first missionary to India, the father of modern missions, was illegal. And that is the way it is almost everywhere, because religious freedom is a fruit of Christianity.
Yes.
Before the Protestant Reformation, you had to be whatever religion the king or the emperor or the sheikh or whatever had, and that's it. And it's only the Protestant Reformation that made religious freedom and freedom of conscience a possibility.
True.
You know, Martin Luther, my conscience is captured the word of God. This is the birth of religious freedom when you get down to it. Mm-hmm. And so when people were telling me, you are not allowed to smuggle Bibles into a communist country, I was so shocked. I started to realize there's something wrong with these people when they are having a greater respect for the communists than they have for the word of our Lord
Yes.
Jesus Christ. He gave the Great Commission. Who is the United Nations or the government of Angola to say you may not take Bibles into Angola?
Yeah.
And so as we were convinced God had led us, I had to start scouring the scriptures to understand we must obey God rather than man.
And Amen.
Seeing these scriptures. And then I recognized that a lot of the churches are working on the fear of man instead of the fear of God.
Oh, yeah.
And this led me to studying and finding amongst the reformers the theological justification needed for ministry to persecute church behind the Iron Curtain in closed countries and restricted access areas. And when I started to study and see what John Calvin had to say about these things, that, for example, no man-made authority is total. All authority is delegated by God. All human authority is answerable to God. All human authority is limited.
And that's right.
It is limited to what God's word has said, and it's accountable to God. And we will all make us account one day before God for everything we've ever done. And then I understood the Protestant Reformation gave the theological foundation for ministry to persecuted Christians behind the Iron Curtain. And then you start to see the church was born in the flames of persecution in the Roman Empire. And even in the book of Acts, you can see the beginnings of this. And Fox's Book of Martyrs. And so I realized the woke people have got an agenda. It's like wokeness is another religion. Because they have got such a different way of thinking on everything. And in fact, if you look at the whole woke agenda, it's like you have to follow, whether it's the masquerade madness, the lockdown lunacy, whether it's LGBTQ agenda, whether it's just the critical race theory, gaslighting, Stockholm syndrome, guilt manipulation. And no, we're not going to bow to this religion. We're not going to bow the knee to BLM, burn, loot, murder, or Baal, Lucifer, Moloch. The woke crowd, their insanity was on full display during the riots and the chaos and looting sprees of 2020.
Yes.
And looking at all this, I realized, no, we're not following that religion. It's a totally different religion. It's not Christ-like. It's not God-fearing. It's not biblical. We're not going to follow them at all. And so I think my eyes were opened when I started ministering to the persecuted church and realized the persecuted church are risking their lives to worship Christ. To them, the most important priority is not their health and their wealth and their comfort zone. Their highest priority is to worship God. And I'd have these people, I mean, just imagine you visit a place and the church is meeting outside under the trees because the church building's burned down just across the way and it was bombed and so on. And here these people are, they don't have a building. It's boiling hot. But they are gathered together, sitting on sticks and logs and so on the ground. Oh. No nice pews, no carpets and so on, no pew Bibles. In fact, when I brought out Bibles, people fell on their knees and wept. People cried and kissed the Bibles and kissed their hands and danced for joy. And I had people saying, I've never had a Bible before, or not since the Cubans burnt my Bible 5 years ago. I've had the Word of God myself. I've been praying every day for years for my own copy of the Word of God.
Oh,
this
my.
Is the greatest gift anyone could ever ask for.
Yes.
The Word of God, my own language. Now, that changed my life because
that's right.
How can you look at things the same when you see this is reality? Do you know?
Yes.
And most people in the world are not worried about what translation of the Bible they should read because there is no other translation. Only the English speakers have the privilege of arguing over what translation we should use.
Yes.
Most people aren't worried about what clothes to wear. Many of them don't have. They're not worried about what to cook. They are worried about what to eat. There's virtually, you know, so a lot of our problems are not there. And I think looking at the persecuted church teaches you priorities. And the highest priority is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's guided me.
Amen. We've been talking today with Dr. Peter Hammond. He's a missionary from South Africa. He's ministered in various parts of Africa, sometimes in very dangerous zones, smuggling Bibles, etc. And we love this brother in the Lord. Peter, you're mentioning the Bible, and just really quick, it's the start of a new year. It's a wonderful time to acquire a Bible reading program. I just came across one by the Navigators that I like a lot. I'm starting to use. But that doesn't matter so much. What matters is getting your nose into the Bible and reading it regularly. Peter, if somebody wants to contact you, learn more about the ministry, support it, how would they go about doing that?
My personal email is peter@frontline.org.za. peter@frontline.org.za. That's my email. Our website's www.frontlinemissionsa.org. Frontline Mission SA. That's short for South Africa. .org. Frontline Mission SA.org. Do contact us. We actually have also the Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, helping people go through every book in the Bible, summarizing every book in the Bible. And I've learned so much in the persecuted church that I think will always refresh people's spiritual lives, putting things into perspective.
It's a very refreshing experience to dip into some of this stuff, folks. Please avail yourself of Frontline Mission. And Peter, may God bless you. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for your time today, and may God bless you going forward.
Thank you, Dan. God bless the United States of America.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.